Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today's Tuesday, May 23rd. A lot going on, also not a lot going on. Kind of a lull period. The Nuggets just swept the Lakers. Game 4 is happening right now as we speak of the Heat-Celtics series. So by obviously the time you're listening to it, that'll be over. A lot of soccer stuff going on. Champions League finalists set. Premier League. A lot of the standings are wrapped up in the Premier League. A lot of MLS stuff going on. College baseball just started their conference tournaments. I was watching that all day today. The number one seed in the American, East Carolina, lost in extra innings to USF. And then Houston is losing right now to Tulane in the sixth inning. SEC tournament got delayed. North Carolina won their first game against Georgia Tech. Big 12 tournament starts tomorrow. So a lot of college baseball, a lot of stuff going on. And it's mostly going to be a basketball podcast, but a few kind of minor things we'll touch on here and there. Matt, any non-sports stuff we want to hit on before we dive in?
I don't know about non-sports stuff. I guess just to stick with baseball, just for those of our listeners who may not know. When we talk about these one seeds and these two seeds potentially losing in these conference tournaments, is it like March Madness with basketball, that if you're a high seed, you're probably still going to get in even if you don't win your conference tournament? Or is this a thing where you have to win your conference tournament to win the privilege to go to a regional or whatever it is?
Yeah, so 64 teams get into the baseball tournament, so you still have a good shot. A lot of the teams are fighting for, like, seeding. The top teams are trying to get a top 16 seed because you get to host the first round or like the first regional.
Mm-hmm.
And then a top 8 seed is the super regionals, which you would also get a host assuming the top seeds come out. So really you want to be a top 8 seed or a top 16 seed.
Yeah.
Because you get a host at least one series or one regional. So that's kind of what they're fighting for. Other teams are just fighting to get in. I think the tournament's kind of mostly solidified, but there'll just be jockeying on, like, seeding up and down.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. But also, I don't know the stats, but I think just baseball in general is a sport where the best team is least likely to win, whereas basketball, more NBA than college basketball with a 7-game series, but the best team typically wins. In college basketball, obviously, that's not as true. NFL, I think the best team typically wins. But what makes baseball exciting is you never know what's going to happen because it is a little random.
It is, yeah. I wonder how much this would hold true. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but with how Major League Baseball, there's only, is it now 10 teams that get in out of 32?
I think it's 12.
12, yeah. Okay. But still better than
It used to be 10, which was, or it used to be 8, which I liked.
Yeah, so better than the NBA and Major League Soccer, certainly. But it'd be interesting if you got, like, you know, not the worst team in Major League Baseball, but if you got, you know, a team like middle of the road, put them in the playoffs, how often they would win. Because I feel like, you know, the playoffs are random, but they've also already pre-selected the very best teams, too.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, no, that would be interesting to put, like, the Oakland A's in the playoffs and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah. But you're certain, you know, just because of home runs and batting averages and stuff, it's totally unpredictable.
Yeah. So it's because of the smaller sample size. Yeah, because obviously over 162-game season, you know, those are going to average out where the best teams are going to have the best record. But you nail it down to a 3-game series. Well, when the playoffs, it's 5 or 7 games, but you never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, next week the college baseball bracket will be announced. We'll talk a little bit about that. Should we talk a little bit of soccer, complain about Manchester City before we get into basketball?
Yeah.
So, Manchester City wrapped up the Premier League title. Newcastle locked up the Champions League berth. Did you see that?
Good for them.
They've been relegated twice since their last Champions League appearance. So,
yeah,
good for Newcastle.
That is good for them.
Nice what having a rich Arab owner or Saudi owner will do for your chances. Manchester City, is it 150 violations?
I'm trying to find that exact number. The only thing I can find is that Pep Guardiola would like the charges to be resolved quickly. So, poor Pep Guardiola. I hope things work out well for him.
Yeah, the poor guy.
But yeah, 150 seems to be what I remember. It's a lot. And, you know, some of those are obviously going to be really smaller. Basically, the rules with at least European soccer, I assume other soccer, is you can only spend as much money as you earn, right? And they do that so the clubs don't get themselves into debt, but also so the teams don't just buy an enormous roster with Messi and Ronaldo and Zidane all on the same team, win, and then sell everybody. They wouldn't want that to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of ways to cook the accounting books and work around that. But even with all that, Manchester City is accused of, and it was at least three digits, but we think it's about 150 violations, as Matt's looking that up, of financial fair play violations. I don't think they should be awarded the trophy. I don't think they should be getting to play in the Champions League final, which they'll be playing Inter Milan for the Champions League final. Like, what's the point of having fair play rules if you're not going to punish people when they break them?
No, yeah, you have to do something. And, well, the other thing I'm reading is that they're charged of these from between 2009 and 2018. We've been hearing about this for so long, you know? And if it's something that's 4 years old, you know, there should have been something where you're not allowed to play in Champions League or you get docked 10 points. Juventus got docked 15 points in the Serie A this year. So, like, clearly they can do things to stop these teams, but I don't know why they haven't been able to figure out something for Man City.
It's stupid. And just clarifying points, and most people know this, but in soccer, you get 3 points for a win and 1 point for a tie, and it's just whoever has the most points. So it's not like win-loss percentage, but it's how many points you have. So getting docked 15 points, there's no way you're going to win the league. I can't remember the last, like, top five flight, and maybe, like, PSG once, but, like, they're always within 15 points, usually within 3 to 5.
Right, yeah, no, 15
is... Liverpool ran away with it 1 year, but if you get docked 15, that pretty much eliminates you from winning the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, massive punishment. Yeah, they need to do something. It's ridiculous that City keeps getting away with it. They're probably going to win the Champions League, because I think they're the best team in Europe, if you were talking, like, when they're on the field, what they're doing. I just think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean, when this Champions League comes, I think we're both going to be rooting for Inter, which is not a sentence I ever thought that I would say.
No, I was cheering for really anyone but Manchester City, and will continue to do so, but that puts you in some precarious situations sometimes.
Yeah.
Should we talk basketball?
Let's get into the basketball.
Now, one last soccer thing, I apologize. Next Saturday, June 3rd, Manchester City's in another cup final. They're playing Manchester United in the FA Cup, which is like an in-season tournament. First time those two have played in the FA Cup final, so I think that'll be an awesome game. Obviously cheering for Manchester United. Let's start with Denver sweeping the Lakers and then go to the Celtics series, and that'll kind of lead us into our top five as well. I should say the Heat series, to be respectful. Yeah. The Celtics haven't really done anything there. So Denver last night swept the Lakers. Lakers had a chance to tie last second of the game. They had a chance in game one. So I don't think they got blown out or any of the games are, like, embarrassed. It's not like a four-game sweep where, like, the Philly-Brooklyn series where Brooklyn never had a chance. They just didn't get... You lose one or two games and it's kind of game over, you know? And LeBron swept for the third time in his career. The first time was in that final against the Spurs, where he was playing with a college team, like a mid-major college team, basically.
Uh-huh.
And then the last time, I think it was the 2018 finals against the Warriors. I don't really blame him for either of those sweeps.
No, yeah, because he played really well in those series. Yeah. I mean, he's never not played well in the playoffs.
And I think he played well in this series and in this playoff run. Denver's just a better team.
Yeah, I mean, he had, I think, 40 points off of 25 shots. And so, yeah, I mean, I think this is really the series where you're really looking hard at Anthony Davis, and it's like, all right, well, if you're not going to slow down Jokic, that's fine because of Jokic. But if you're not going to score on Jokic either, then I don't really understand how we're hanging our championship hopes on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, there's not really, because defensively I thought he did pretty well, but yeah, offensively it just wasn't enough, and maybe he's not the, you know, like go-to scoring center like Embiid is, but he still has to be a little bit more productive for what he is.
Well, and you do, if the plan was, hey, we're going to trade away everything we have to bring you here, and then you're going to carry LeBron in the back half of his career. That was the plan, and LeBron picked him to do this.
Lakers,
and he just can't do it.
Lakers wanted and needed him to be the best player.
Yeah.
With LeBron in his year 20 season.
Yeah. And if Anthony Davis is the best player, I don't know if they win, but you look at, you know, game 1, 6, game 2, 5 points, game 4, 2 points, you know. They have a really good chance to win if Anthony Davis is the best player on the Lakers.
Instead of Austin Reeves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
been great, but...
Yeah, now, I saw the Lakers are going to match offers for both Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura. I think it depends to some extent on what those offers are. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like at least Reeves are, and both of them they're going to try to keep, which would be interesting. At the end of the day, they were a 7 seed. I don't know how much of that was LeBron kind of resting for the playoffs, which is happening more and more. I think more and more the NBA players are caring less, and NBA teams are caring less about home field advantage. 82 games is just kind of too long. And once you get into the playoffs, just seeing what happens.
Yeah, and this would be, you know, I think in the United States, we think that the playoff is the best way to determine a champion. And I kind of think like that. I feel like you should be able to show up and beat whoever it is if you want to be the champion. I agree with that. But when you look at European soccer, nobody is resting for any games. You know, Mo Salah is going to play against Brighton and Newcastle and Bournemouth and anybody because 3 points are 3 points and it doesn't matter. And so, you know, even though I'm a playoff guy to determine a champion, it's, you know, if you look at the NBA right now, it's hard not to look at that sort of system and think that that's going to be better.
Even if it's the playoffs are the best way to determine, I think college basketball is the best example of that. If the playoffs are the best way to determine a champion, it's not necessarily the best way to determine the best team.
I agree with that.
European soccer, and I guess soccer in general, that's the best way to determine the best team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we talked about with baseball, is over 162 games. Like the Mariners in 2001 when they won like 108 or 112 games or whatever like that, then lost in the division series. They're the best team, but 3 games, anything can happen.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So, but I understand that maybe we don't want the champion to be the best team. I'm not, you know, NBA it happens typically where the best team does usually win, although Milwaukee and Boston are kind of proving that not to be the case. Denver could. And Denver was the best team in the West in the regular season for the whole time consistently. So, no one but you and I think Bomani picked Denver. I don't remember anyone else who picked Denver to win the West. So, kudos to you.
Yeah, well, I just thought, I mean, the only team that I thought really could have beat them was the Suns, and that, like, we've just seen teams with 1 year, it's not really enough to come together and win a championship. Certainly 8 games was not going to be enough. But, yeah, do you think we can still call the Celtics one of the best 2 teams in the NBA after watching this? Because I don't really know if we can.
No, I mean, after Philly series, I would have said yes. But there's no way you can. They got embarrassed every single game by Miami.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that, like, I don't have the scores offhand, but I don't think they lost every game by 40, but they got embarrassed in all those games. Jimmy, especially, was it game 2 where Grant Williams, or is that his name?
Yes.
I mixed him up in Admiral Williams, but when Grant Williams was, like, kind of getting in Jimmy Butler's face, and then Jimmy Butler just kind of turned it on. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if Jason Tatum does it, but if you're Grant Williams, that's a completely different thing.
Right.
And Jimmy Butler is like the last person you want to do that with.
Yeah.
He's the most, I think mentality-wise, not playing style-wise, but mentality-wise, I think similar to Kobe in the sense of there's a wire that's either missing or not connected differently
uh-huh.
than everyone else. You know, like Jimmy can turn it on, and he had, Jimmy has the highest approval rating in any NBA star, would you say?
Yeah, as far as...
No one dislikes Jimmy.
You haven't heard of anybody. I mean, I don't think Karl Anthony Towns likes Jimmy.
I mean, I wouldn't either. So. But, like, yeah, Jimmy, for someone who's played in one finals, about to be in two, doesn't have a ring, Ryan Russillo brought this point up, we hold him to a different standard than, like, any other superstar, and we all love him. And I love him, too, so I'm not saying we shouldn't like him. But I think we just kind of recognize he wasn't always working with fantastic talent, and he himself is remarkable.
Yeah, well, because honestly, the best team he's been on was the Sixers team that took the Raptors to 7 games, and it was just, you know, literally 3 bounces away. The shot was 4 bounces from going to the conference finals, and then, you know, probably beating the Suns, I think. Or no, the Warriors, excuse me. So, yeah, no, he just has not had good teams. And even now, like... But, I mean, I think they're better than an 8 seed. Because, like, they've got Bam on the team. I think Bam and Jimmy should get you a 6 seed with basically nothing else on the team.
Yeah, well, and Duncan Robinson passed LeBron. I don't think this means anything, but passed LeBron for the most three-pointers in Heat history. A lot of people are pointing to, like, oh, look what Miami's done with these undrafted guys. I don't, like, the thing is, Eric, if you're an undrafted guy, where would you rather go in the sense of Eric Spoelstra, I think, is inarguably the best coach in the league. And I would have said that before the playoffs started.
It's hard to argue with that right now.
It's hard to argue with Pat Riley not being the best front office guy in the league, you know? Like, people make fun of, like, the Heat culture thing, but... Where else would you rather develop? In a place where you work and they develop you, and it's just the best coaching staff in the league. You know, so the undrafted guys, it's not like they're going to Minnesota or Indiana and just kind of seeing what happens.
Right. It's very impressive that it's Heat culture in Miami. You know, it'd be very easy for that to be kind of like a goof-off sort of a place, you know, or for people to get in trouble. Like, I don't know the last time I heard of a Heat player getting in any sort of off-court trouble.
There might be one we're missing, but I can't think of one either.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, some sort of a comment is going to point out someone very obvious, but...
Yeah. Yeah, no, but they just do a great job. I love Bam. I was saying when Rudy Gobert played for the Jazz that I would have tried to trade for Bam, just because Bam does way more offensively. He has a lower defensive impact, but he just is so, like, so much more creative and flexible on offense. Obviously, Jimmy's awesome. Tyler Hero's hurt. Strauss is really good. Oak Hill Academy guy. Now, I feel like saying all this, you're going to pick Denver to win the finals.
I think so. I mean, I'm not... Because I think the Celtics are absolutely a better team than the Lakers. And the Heat are just smoking them. I think that the Heat match up against the Nuggets a lot better than the Lakers do. I don't really know what the Nuggets are going to do about Jimmy Butler. They've got a few guys to put on him, but I think with Bam and with the combination of all those other people, I think the Heat can guard Jokic better than a lot of other teams. I still think Jokic is going to have a monster finals, so... I don't know. I wasn't hoping that I was going to have to decide this soon, but it looks like, you know,
it's going to be a sweep. The way Boston's playing, I think they're just going to lay over. Like, right. And I think the Heat are pissed off enough where they want to finish it.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, 4 years, assuming they do finish the job, two NBA finals plus one other conference finals appearance. That's pretty good 4-year run for Miami.
Yeah, very good. I think I am going to pick the Heat, but that may change as soon as tomorrow.
I just don't want to bet against the Heat. I wanted to bet. I'm really annoyed I didn't bet on them to win the Boston series. I talked to you about that. I was stupid. Denver's the better team, though. They have Jokic is the best player. I love Jamal Murray. Denver obviously has a better bench, but on paper, you could say the same thing about Milwaukee. Same, not New York, but you can say the same thing about both Boston and Milwaukee. And Miami handled those teams.
Yeah.
Now, I trust Jimmy's mentality much more than anyone on Denver's as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Jamal Murray's going to have a really, really great finals, though. I think he's a really good playoff performer. So, it's going to be fun. I know this is absolutely not the finals that that the NBA wants in terms of attracting viewership. But I think for basketball fans, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. One thing I've seen on Twitter a lot this week is NBA fans complaining about the Miami-Denver finals, and then people quoting that with Kevin Durant's tweet. Do you remember that?
Where I don't remember that.
Kevin Durant tweeted, like, NBA fans hate the NBA, and it's weird.
Oh.
Like, because we do, like, complain, like, basketball-wise, it's going to be fantastic, and it's not the Lakers-Celtics, but it's that MVP, like, two out of the last 3 years, Jimmy Butler, who everybody loves. The Heat are still a huge organization. I mean, no one cares about the Nuggets, but Jokic is fun to watch, and Murray's fun to watch. So,
right.
Be a really good series.
Yeah.
That we'll be watching on our laptop, because the internet is still not fixed yet.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying.
That's all right. We may be using an HDMI cord or something.
Yeah. Now, that leads into our top five. I just dropped my phone down the couch, but I think I can go off memory. So we'll see what happens.
Good luck.
Now, after this, we're doing the top five. I think we're kind of giving away who's on the list here. But just that mentality, backs against the wall, going to drag your team to win. Active NBA players. So not former players, not other sports. We're just doing active NBA players. If you had to trust one guy to just turn it on, flip the switch, who would that be? Four and five I don't feel great about, so if you think of someone better than that, let me know.
Okay.
Number five, I put Luka, and I was just thinking of that bubble series he had against the Clippers.
Yeah.
Number four, I put Kawhi, just because I was thinking of the finals performance he had when he won MVP for the Spurs. I guess Toronto as well. I was thinking of his Spurs final performance.
Yeah, that's fair.
Number three, I think it gets a little better. I put Steph. You know, game seven against the Kings, I think, is a great example of that. First 50-point game seven in NBA history. Jason Tatum came along like a week later and did the same thing. Most dribbles in NBA history in game seven as well.
Uh-huh.
Wanted the ball, wanted to win, wanted to dominate, and he did that. Number two, I kind of had a 1A and a 1B because I think I have to put Jimmy two, even though, well, no, if it's mentality, I'll put Jimmy two. I'll put LeBron one.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Just because, and I love Jimmy, and Jimmy might have a bigger gap of talent from, like, you know, his play in the regular season to his play in the playoffs. He's averaging 23 points in the regular season. I think it jumped up to 32 points last I checked, average-wise. But LeBron, you think of, like, Game 6 against the Celtics when he was in Miami. You think of the finals against the Warriors, Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7. I know he just got swept, but he had 40 points in Game 7 last night.
Yeah.
If LeBron needs to turn it on, there's no one you'd rather have on your team.
Yeah.
So I think you got to put LeBron one.
Well, for some reason, he has a reputation of not being a clutch player.
That makes sense.
I'm certainly not the only person that's talked about this. But his clutch numbers are maybe the best in NBA history, certainly better than Kobe, who, you know, I would, if we're taking non-active players, Kobe would be at the top.
Yeah, it's really the Mamba mentality list.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, I've got a couple people that I think, you know, you may have forgotten. And two Tulane players almost ran into each other just now.
See, that's what's great about college baseball. That never happens in Major League Baseball.
It's true, yeah. This is somebody who would be much higher on the list. Don't quite make it just because their body can't do it anymore. But I do want to give an honorable mention to Chris Paul. I think he's a great playoff performer. And I just feel like I just remember, you know, playoff series and games where he tore the Jazz up. So I'm going to give Chris Paul an honorable mention. I'm going to put... I'm going to put Steph at five. I'm going to put Giannis at four. Just because I really, really trust Giannis. I actually have Jimmy at three. And the reason I have Jimmy at three, I agree with everything that you said, but above him, I want to put Dame.
I did forget about Dame.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, we haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to see Dame in the playoffs, certainly recently. But I just remember, that shot that broke up the Thunder, basically. That was just so great. And, yeah, he's really, I think, of who can get those buckets whenever he wants. He's, really near the top of the list.
Well, talk about doing the most with the least, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I do have LeBron at number one as well.
I think LeBron has to be one.
Yeah.
I did forget about Dame. I would put him over both Kawhi and Luka, for sure. Yeah, Dame, that shot, just cold-blooded. And you knew it was going in, too.
Yeah, I think that might be the best shot that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think for me a close number two or 1A and 1B would be now this was in the regular season, so maybe we give Dame number one, but Steph's shot against poor Oklahoma City, where he pulled up from like 35 feet in overtime.
That one was crazy.
That was I guess I was watching Dame shot live too. So those two are by far, I think, the most intense, like, killer shots I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, LeBron's number one. Jimmy, though, is the man. Expect Miami to take care of business tonight. I think it'll be a good finals. Appreciate everybody listening as well. Now, in a couple weeks, Matt and I are going to be in Chile for like 2 or 3 weeks, and we won't be able to record. We might try to do some pre-recorded stuff. We'll also be in California for a few weeks. But the next few weeks, we'll be able to get an episode out still, just kind of get ready. We'll be gone in a little bit here. Feel free to keep, liking, reviewing, subscribing, all that good stuff. 5 stars only. And we'll talk to you guys next week.